Welcome to the Fox One podcast, where we investigate UFOs and related topics. I am Rex, your host and fellow UFO enthusiast. Now let's dive into the subject of today, the Foo Fighters. On the Fox One podcast, we have looked at a lot of sightings by both commercial and military pilots, and mainly during the 21st century. During the 20th century, however, there were also lots of sightings by pilots, and especially during World War II. Also, after the war is when the US government started looking into UFOs, or UAPs, as they now call them. During the 50s and 60s, we have the now famous Operation Blue Book, and then later on, of course, in modern times, for example, ATIP, investigating UAP activity. And the latest government initiative being the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, ARO, which is an office within the United States Office of the Secretary of Defense that investigates unidentified flying objects and other anomalous phenomena, sometimes termed Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAP. So it all started with American and British pilots, Allied pilots, reporting UFO sightings during World War II, and they referred to them as Foo Fighters. F-O-O Fighters. Foo Fighters. The term Foo was borrowed from the Holman Strip Smoky Stover by a radar operator in the 415th Night Fighter Squadron, Donald J. Myers, who, according to most 415th members, gave the Foo Fighters their name in 1944. A phrase in the comic strip says, "Where there's Foo, there's fire," with Foo being slang for nonsense. So there you have it. This is how the UFOs sighted in World War II got their name, Foo Fighters. During World War II, Foo Fighters were seen in the European theater and in the Pacific as well. Numerous pilots reported orange balls of fire with speeds exceeding 250 miles per hour and displaying extreme maneuverability. They also operated in groups and formations, reacting to pilot actions, following aircraft, surrounding aircraft, but never has a hostile intent been shown. No attacks from Foo Fighters have taken place. What is interesting is that no structure can be identified, like for instance with the more modern UFOs, like the Tic Tac, or the triangle shape, the saucer, or cube. We had none of that. All Foo Fighters were orange balls of fire. Now let's have a look at a couple of witness accounts. And for more details info, go to YouTube and check out the Foo Fighters on the infographic show, where they talk about a couple of sightings, including that of Charles R. Bastian, a pilot of the 8th Air Force, who saw Foo Fighters over Belgium and the Netherlands. And this was also confirmed later on by two RAF British pilots who saw the same Foo Fighters in the same place around the same time. And also Foo Fighters were spotted in the South Pacific by pilots and then also by the crew on board. On the History Channel on YouTube, on Project Blue Book Declassified, the true story of the Foo Fighters, you can find info on the sighting of the 415th Night Fighter Squadron in November 1944 over the northeast of France, which at that time was Nazi occupied. There they saw a group of lights, balls of fire, as the pilot described it, and they could come from low altitude to high altitude. And this is that squadron, that Night Fighter Squadron, the 415th, of which one pilot gave the Foo Fighters their name. Another report is by an American pilot who was hunting Nazi planes. Instead, two red balls of fire came cruising alongside his wingtips. And yet another sighting by a British pilot this time was flying from England to Germany. He thought Germans were firing rocket projectiles at him. But no, these were UFOs and they looked like comets and they quickly disappeared. And regarding maneuverability, One US pilot described how he was diving, rolling, climbing, but a Red Bull stayed with him at all times, clearly showing the UFO's intent to follow the pilot. Again, no hostile intent, but just following. Now, at the time, they tried to explain these Foo Fighters. Some were thinking the pilots were hallucinating, but overall, those pilots who witnessed those Foo Fighters, they were all in good shape, and they were combat veterans, trained in identifying flying objects. So they would clearly know the difference between fighter aircraft or any aircraft and UFOs, namely orange balls of fire, moving extreme speeds and showing extreme maneuverability. And then there's this theory of natural airborne electrical discharge, or St. Elmo's fire. Yes, they do look like balls of fire, but these things don't follow aircraft around. Others were thinking it might have been some secret German technology. Electrical storms, electrical static discharges caused by some sort of secret German weapon. Well, in the last 70 years, nothing has been uncovered showing such a weapon being built or in development by the Nazis back during the war. And if it was a weapon, it didn't cause any damage and was never used to attack Allied aircraft. In the 1950s, the Robertson Panel, which was occupied with looking into UFOs in general, was trying to explain the Foo Fighter phenomenon. They were looking at possible autokinesis, which referred to high stress levels causing the observer to view objects to move while they're not. But again, objects following you around can't be caused by autokinesis. Then they also looked at the possibility of these objects being the German V2 rocket. But a V2 rocket doesn't show any of the flight characteristics of these Foo Fighters. And again, V2 rockets don't follow aircraft. So none of the previous mentioned explanations will do. The Foo Fighters remain a mystery, and the US government never gave an explanation. It must be mentioned, though, that the Germans were working on flying saucers. They had a couple of prototypes, and there are actual witnesses of these things. But these flying saucers were jet-propelled. They could have alternative energy sources, of course, but they were rather conventional, just the shape being a saucer. They did test flights above the Baltic Sea, but none of this suggests that they were capable of building flying saucers with the capabilities that the Foo Fighters showed. And again, if they were able to build something like a Foo Fighter, why didn't they use it offensively? But yes, the Nazis have shown a clear interest in the saucer design. Now, if we would take this podcast into the realms of infinite possibilities, and we assume the stories of Admiral Byrd's Antarctic expedition to be true, where he found saucer-shaped objects escorting his aircraft, well, yeah, then you can say these could be the Foo Fighters. But at the same time, these Foo Fighters could have been UFOs who have nothing to do with Admiral Byrd's Antarctic adventures. What we do know, of course, for sure, is that they have been seen lots of times. So what can we conclude from all this? Foo Fighters can be described as balls of fire, moving at high speed, displaying extreme maneuverability. They follow aircraft, they surround aircraft, and they can move in groups and formations. They have been seen over Europe and in the Pacific, but there is no report of any Foo Fighter ever attacking an Allied aircraft. Now, the Nazis have shown to be highly into developing Wunderwaffen, and this includes flying saucers. Whether these have something to do with the Foo Fighters, we simply don't know. What can be said, however, is that all these Foo Fighter sightings have been made by Allied pilots. There are no known, or released, reports of German or Japanese pilots seeing these Foo Fighters? So one might ask, why did only Allied fighters see them? Or why were these Foo Fighters only investigating and following Allied aircraft? Maybe it has something to do with the Allies being able to develop nuclear weapons. And aliens were trying to prevent escalation and were therefore keeping a keen eye on the Allies. This, of course, assuming that these Foo Fighters were aliens. But because the Foo Fighters were not attacking the Allies and merely observing the Allies, one might say that they were some third neutral party during the war. Well, they certainly had an impact on UFO investigation, all the way from Project Blue Book to ATIP and to the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office of today. With these findings, we have come to the end of this episode. As always, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for listening. I'm looking forward to our next UFO investigation together on the Fox One podcast. Have a good one.